my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, this is episode 181 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and usually on days after Stride shows, or you know the Monday following a Stride show, I do a recap of what happened. I'm going to do that. I want to talk though, and I do have a guest this for this episode, and it is my daughter Brooke. Brooke, for those who don't know, is a 12-year-old girl who goes. You know, she's a cheerleader. She's your typical 12-year-old. Back in the day, she was a big wrestling fan. She would watch it with me. And she, as she's gotten a little older, she's gotten away from watching professional wrestling. But we had a show for Stride Pro Wrestling at her school, or at her future school, at the junior high school. And she decided to come with one of her friends, and my wife came. And they were in the front row having a good time until Roger Mathis, and I've been talking about Roger Mathis, and I'll get more into that in just a few minutes, took it upon himself to grab my daughter, throw her into the ring, and then he power slammed her after demanding I sign a contract to wrestle him inside a steel cage. So I've done that. It's signed and sealed, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But I wanted to bring Brooke in because people have been asking about her health, her wellness, her safety. I can tell you Brooke is fine. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you feeling this morning? I know, and we're recording this on Sunday. This happened Saturday night. Of course, the show drops on a Monday. But as Chad says, time is irrelevant in the podcast world. But for a frame of reference, we are probably almost about 18 hours removed from the incident. Roger threw you into the ring. What were you thinking as this started to kind of go down?
I didn't really know what was going to happen, and I was really scared.
Yes, justifiably so. Brooke is, like I said, a 12-year-old sixth grader. Roger Mathis is a near 300-pound former MMA fighter, now professional wrestler. When he scooped you up and slammed you, I mean, obviously, once you hit impact, you went unconscious there for a minute. What did you think though once you hit the mat?
I just was so scared. I didn't know what to think.
And your friend Cameron was in the audience too. She was upset. Mom was upset. A lot of people in attendance were upset, and people on social media still sending me messages asking how you're doing. So how do you feel now as a result of this?
I'm pretty sore, but I'm fine. I'll be fine.
We're going to go see Brooke. Brooke is, because she is a cheerleader, she's been going to the chiropractor for almost a year now, just to kind of make sure everything is okay. And we're going to take her this week and make sure everything is still doing what it's supposed to do. Are you feeling, what have your friends said? Your friends, some of your other friends were kind of upset about this too?
Yeah. They were like asking like, are you okay? Like what's going on and stuff like that. Yeah.
So what do you want to see happen now with Roger Mathis?
I don't know.
Well, I'm supposed to wrestle him. Do you think that's a good idea or not? I'm probably going to get beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? He did something that I can't respect, don't appreciate, and so it is time to come May 26th. I'm going to take matters into my own hands inside a steel cage for Stride Pro Wrestling. Brooke, thank you for being a part of this and coming in, and hopefully you'll be better protected the next time you come to a show.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Love you, honey. All righty. That was my daughter, Brooke, and I want to talk more about the show and kind of explain how things went down. And I'll start with the Roger stuff since that's kind of where we are. Well, actually, I'll go back to the beginning because it kind of builds up throughout the entire show. The show started with an episode of Striking Your Fancy. Jay Wellington Beauregard was interviewing Cash Borden. That is when Scott Phoenix came out and ran some interference. Then Roger Mathis came out. General Manager Sam Hunter set up a match to determine, because there's a big contention now for the Legacy Championship. Cash wants a shot at it after defeating Roger Mathis. Cash is the only person in quite some time to have pinned Roger. Yes, I was a special guest referee for that. And yes, I did kick Roger, as Dalton Anthony would say, in the ding ding from over at Podzilla 1985. But I feel still like I was justified in my actions. And it all goes back to the very beginning of this incident with Roger. It started in February of this year, our show over at John A. Logan College. Roger was upset and frustrated that he was not going to be granted a rematch against Jay Spade for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. He lost the championship in December. He was disqualified in his attempt to regain the championship the following month in January. So in February, he took out his aggression and anger on me for whatever reason. I just happened to be standing near the ring. He grabbed me, threw me in, hoisted me up on his shoulders, and was going to do something nefarious, I'm sure, when Bull Bronson hit the ring and saved me. Fast forward a month to the March show, the big show, the big fundraiser in Christopher, Illinois. We were in the ring, they were in the ring wrestling, Roger and Bull. I was outside the ring at ringside like I am for every show. Roger dumped me out of my chair again, putting his hands on me first, taking the chair, and was going to use it against Bull. I pulled the chair away from him. He threw me back into the ring, backed me into the corner, and Bull was going to charge. Roger got out of the way and ended up schoolboying Bull and pinning him in that matchup. So then in April at the Lane Austin benefit show in Carterville, once again, Roger dumped me out of a chair in his match and his confrontation with Cash Borden, and this was the third time Roger decided to put his hands on me. I was frustrated. I did not act rationally, and I used that chair, and I parted his hair with it. I hit him right upside the head with the chair. That is when Sam Hunter made the match where Cash would face Roger with me as the special guest referee. And folks, you can go back and look at the video. I called the match right down the middle. I did a two count when Cash went to pin Roger. I did a two count when Roger went to pin Cash. Same cadence, same, I was counting fairly. I was officiating fairly. And Roger was frustrated with that. Grabbed me once again, backed me into the corner, and started shaking me. And my defense was to kick him below the belt. And I made a fast three count. Yes, I own that. I did do that. But again, I feel in my heart of hearts, I was justified. This was now the fourth time that Roger was the aggressor. He put his hands on me first. I responded appropriately. Fast forward now to this past weekend, Cinco de Strido, the show in Carterville at the junior high school. Roger storms out during that opening segment with Striking Your Fancy, demanding a match against me in the cage on May 26th in Pinckneyville. Sam said no, he's not going to sanction that match, he's not going to sign that match, and Roger had a printed contract that apparently his attorney helped him craft and create. Sam said no, and if you put your hands on Kevin tonight, you will be fired immediately. So I felt somewhat safe because I know as much as Roger hates me, he loves his job as a professional wrestler even more. So I felt somewhat safe. So throughout the night, we had the segment and Roger then in his aggression laid out Cash, which then immediately started the match with Cash and Scott Phoenix. Scott Phoenix ended up getting disqualified in the course of that matchup. We went on, continuing on through the show, went on to the next match, which was a handicap match, Wraith's disciples, that's Wraith himself, he is the legacy champion, by the way, he and his partners, disciples Riser and Chase King, battled Farmer Billy Hills and T-Dog. Now, this was T-Dog Jerry Travelstead. This was supposed to originally be a six-man tag match, but at the Mount Vernon show, unfortunately, Wraith's army attacked Jose Magnifico, beat him up pretty bad, and did a serious injury, fracturing his foot. So he is unable to wrestle, at least in the time being, and was not able to make it to the Cinco de Strido show. Well, it turns out Wraith's army got disqualified in this battle, prompting Farmer and T-Dog to demand another match in the cage. So it is going to be a six-man tag match. We don't know yet who Farmer and T-Dog's partner will be, but Wraith's army will be on the other side of that cage. General Manager Sam Hunter confirming that news. Next, we had a contract signing for Jay Spade and Tony Flood. They, too, will meet inside a steel cage on May 26th in a rematch. Flood and Spade have traded the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship the last couple of months now, and it is going to be signed, sealed, and delivered. It is happening. But then the DR party interrupted the contract signing, so Sam made the enemies become friends, or at least tag team partners. And they wrestled a fairly decent tag team match as far as partnering up and agreeing and getting along. And it looked like they were going to win the match until Tony decided to waffle Jay again with that lead pipe, knocking him out. Dexter Roswell picking up the pin, which you got to think, too, that he's going to want to be in line for a championship match at some point in this game as well. That match then took us to an intermission and... we came back, we returned, and I did an interview with Josh Plumley, in the middle of the ring, the Stone Cold Plumster. He is set to, talk about the Stride matches, all the cage matches that are going to be happening on May 26th, again, at Pinckneyville High School. It's a fundraiser for the high school. The football team is raising money for helmets, new uniforms and equipment in this day and age of concussions and whatnot. And then there's another group there at the school they're going to split the profits with. So it's going to be a big fundraiser, and they've got some teachers and educators that are going to be involved in that as well. So it's going to be a great event. It is Memorial Day weekend. You know, we are up against the Beach Boys at Heronfest Italiana, but wrestling fans, come out and support this great company, this great cause. I still believe that this is going to be our biggest show to date. I have no doubt about it. The educators that are involved in this, the students are surely going to want to see their favorite teachers get in there and fight it out. We already know that Jerry Travelstead is going to be in the cage. We know that Josh Plumley, the Stone Cold Plumster, is going to be in there. And, you know, the DR party, Dexter Roswell and Brian Richards laid out Plumley. So you got to think that something's going to be brewing there, and putting Plumley and a partner in the cage against those two knuckleheads has got to be inevitable. We had a women's match. It's been a while since the ladies have wrestled. Sarah Summers, who is, by the way, the Cape Championship Wrestling women's champion, she recently won that at the Super Show. She took on Mardi Gras, who is also from Cape Championship Wrestling and a former champion over there. Sarah Summers picked up the win by disqualification over Mardi Gras after Mardi Gras slapped our referee. And unfortunately, the referee, this particular referee, Courtney, was not in for a good night, because once again, as I was preparing to announce the next match, Roger hit the ring once again, threatening me. I exited the ring very quickly. He had the contract in hand, wanting his match. I refused to sign it, and so he picked up referee Courtney and power slammed him to the mat. I pleaded with him. Here's the deal, folks. I am a 45-year-old man. I'm a ring announcer. I'm a television news anchor. I did color commentary in the past. I am not a wrestler. I am not built to wrestle. I am past any kind of prime to get in the ring and have a match. Even 20 years ago, I would not have been able to compete with a former MMA fighter, a near 300-pound man. you know, go back and listen in the back archives, my interview with Roger Mathis back when he was talking about Stride Pro Wrestling probably a year or so ago, leading up to his rise in Stride Pro Wrestling. He talks about his work with Bobby Lashley, and that's legitimate. Bobby Lashley and Roger have a history together. They trained and they fought together. You know, Roger has been in there and beat up a lot of people. I mean, he has come to Stride Pro Wrestling and run roughshod over the company. It was a year ago this weekend that he captured the Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight title from Heath Hatton in that TLC match in Pinckneyville. So Pinckneyville has been a great place, a great venue for Roger Mathis. He has risen to the occasion. And again, I refused. I have had one match. This was in 2012, and it was a long time ago, and I put it behind me. I wanted to move on and focus on commentary, focus on being a ring announcer. You know, when I was asked 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, to return to local indie wrestling as a ring announcer, that was the deal. I had no intention. I had no plans. I had no desire to step back into the ring. In the wrestling capacity, I just did not want to do it. Well, Roger, of course, knew he couldn't put his hands on me, but he decided to pluck my daughter, as you heard earlier, from the front row, threw her into the ring. I pleaded with him to put her down. He did, if I would sign the contract. I signed the contract. I threw it to him, and as my daughter started to walk toward me, he scooped her up again and power slammed her to the mat. And, you know, I have no words. The fans in attendance were shocked. I was shocked. My wife, my daughter's friend, Cameron, all tears in their eyes. And I was helpless. I carried my daughter's limp body out of the ring, took her to our car. We took her to a friend of ours who is a physician's assistant. He looked at her, said that she seemed to be okay, to keep an eye on her. She, as she mentioned, she's pretty sore still, and she's probably going to be for a few days. Thankfully, though, it doesn't look like there was any permanent damage. We're going to obviously go to her regular doctor again this week and get everything checked out. But she is tough. She is really tough, and now I'm pissed, for lack of a better word. And I'm not a fighter, as I mentioned, but Roger Mathis, you've made this personal. And on May 26th, inside a steel cage, yeah, I'm going to get my ass kicked from pillar to post, but I'm going to go down. I'm not going to go down without a fight. I am going to fight tooth and nail and do what I think is right, because what you've done is completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. Obviously, I was gone for the last two matches. I did get a text message, though, with some more results. Aaron Brooks and Chris Hargis, they were wrestling for the number one contendership for the Legacy Championship. Hargis is a former Legacy Champion himself. That match ended in a no contest, I guess, for lack of a better word, after Cash Borden and Scott Phoenix hit the ring. So now it is setting up for a fatal four-way inside the steel cage for the number one contendership again for the Legacy title. And to end the evening on a high note, I am glad to report that my friends Heath Hatton and Axe Allwirt are the new Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions once again. This, by the way, makes Axe, makes a little history within Stride Pro Wrestling, becoming the first three-time Tag Team Champion. He and Scott Phoenix were the only two-time former Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions. So again, congratulations. They beat the Midwest Monster Hunters, and what I hear was an outstanding match. I congratulate everyone, except for you, Roger, on an amazing night. You know, we were in my daughter's future school. It was a fun night. It was a fun atmosphere. It was a fundraiser for Marion Wildcat Softball. There were so many happy kids there. It was a great evening. until it turned dark. And Roger, I can't forgive that. I cannot accept that. And so I am going to let actions speak louder than words. But as I wrap this up, I am reminded of a wonderful, wonderful promo from Hulk Hogan. And this was Hulk Hogan, Saturday night's main event, 1987. It was the steel cage match against Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So friends, I'm going to leave you with that. And Roger, this is exactly how I feel when it comes to you and when it comes to getting into the ring. I'll see you on May 26th, brother.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, Mr. Wonderful. I like that idea, man. The supreme part of professional wrestling, the cage, man. Let it be the judge. And if a mere mortal man like Hulk Hogan goes down, let it be. Hulkamania, Mr. Wonderful, will be a threat.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.